Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Kifnin Ches, and the theme of today's Mishnah continues on the same that we were learning in yesterday's Mishnah. Back on Kifnin Zayin Amid Aleph, we spoke about Chas V'Sholem, two people passing away in a building collapse. And we had Nofel Abayis Olov the Al Oviv, Nebuch, a house kills Nebuch upon Litzlan, a person and his father. And the discussion yesterday focused on that the father was wealthy, was of means. The son, unfortunately, was not. And the son had a ksubas isha and bali choiv that he had to pay off. And the question was, who passed away first? Did the son pass away first and not receive anything, and therefore he passed away penniless? Or did the father pass away first, and the son yarshin from the father, and for the last 2 minutes of his life, he was a wealthy man, and therefore you were able to pay off the Bali Choiv and the Ksubasisha. And a machloikis yesterday between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel under those circumstances. And therefore our Mishnah today continues in the same vein. Zok the Mishnah, Nofel Abayis Olav the Al Ishtoi. Rachmon Litzlan, a couple, Nebuch, was killed in a building collapse. And again we have the same Shiloh. Who passed away first? Was it the husband or was it the wife? If it was the husband that passed away, then we have to go and give the wife all of the things that she's entitled to. She's entitled to get the ksubas isha, which is a minimum of 200 or 100, depending if she was a psula or an almana when she got married. But besides that, she's entitled to her nechse malug and to her nechse tzoin barzel. What's the difference between Nechse Malug and Nechse Tzoin Barzel? We discussed it at some length in Mesechtes Ksubis. Basically, Nechse Malug is that both Nechse Malug and Nechse Tzoin Barzel are nechosim that she brings into the marriage. Nechse Malug, it belongs to her all along, even whilst they are married, but she only owns the keren, the peiros she has to go and give to her husband. Husband has the peiros, she has the keren. Nechse Tzoin Barzel, they write into the ksuba that we have appraised this property. We have found that the property is worth $1,000, and if and when this marriage terminates, he goes and gives her $1,000. Is a machloikis back in Masechtas Ksubis whether she can insist on getting the original property because of the fact that it has to her sentimental value, because it originally belonged to her, or to her father, to her mishpacha. But, putting that aside, if and when this property goes up in value, goes down in value, the appreciation or the decrease in value will normally be shouldered by the husband. That's what the Gemara calls, im pichsu pichsu loy, im hoisiru hoisiru loy. If it goes down in value, it's his headache. If it goes up in value, it's his bracha, because he has to write in the shtar that after the marriage terminates, if in chas v'shalom it terminates, he goes and gives her $1,000, which is the value of the property. Anyway, once again, the husband and wife never passed away. The question is, who passed away first? They both died, lamasa, so neither is going to get anything physically from the other. The question is the yarshim. He has yarshim, his family members, for instance, his brothers, his father. She has family members, for instance, her brothers, her father. The question is, who's going to go and get the benefit of the Yerusha, if any?
When they say, the children say, they have witnesses or what?
Nobody has any witnesses.
So they do, how could you claim something that you don't know how is there, you know, that the children...
What they are positing in Bezin is perhaps this one died first and therefore we're entitled. Yeah, perhaps this one
that
died first.
You know that, but what do you do, you know, realistically?
So realistically we can have a machloik between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel how we're going to pass it. So now for the bayis, all of the al-ishtai. The bayis fell on a man and on his wife. Yorshe Baal Oimrim, the Yorshim of the father, of the Baal, of the husband, say, Isha Mesa, it says Rishon, it should say Rishona, she passed away first. And since she passed away first, so we learn back in Perek Yeshnochlin, that when a woman passes away, when a wife passes away, the husband yarshins from her, either because of the Pasuk V'yarash Oisa, or Midrabanan, But the Maisa, the husband yashins, and therefore she died first. Biachach Maisa Baal, the husband died second, and therefore he's entitled to whatever nechosim she owned. He gets it. And since we're the Yarshia Baal, we're going to get it. On the other hand, the Yarshia Isha Imrim, the Yarshim of the wife, say, no, Baal Meis Rishon, he died first. V'yachach Meis Isha, and then she died second. And therefore, since she lived or outlived her husband, she is entitled to go and get the ksuba from her husband, and the Nechsim Malug, and the Nechsim Tzayim Barzel. So the question is, what do we do under these circumstances? Bishami Omrim, Yach Loiko, says Rishbam, it's Momin Hamutl Basafiku. I don't know who to give it to. Do I go and give it to the first set of Yorshim, the second set of Yorshim? It's a 50-50 chance. We don't know who died first, who died second. Nobody knows. So therefore, just go and split it down the middle. Here you can't even say, like we said in the prior Mishnah, that you go and say, Hamoitzim Mechaber Olav Araya, because here the two groups of Yorshim that seem to have an equal right to the property. Meaning, in yesterday, Mishnah, what was the situation? Yesterday we had a situation of someone who passed away. Olav and the Al-Aviv. Now, the Yorshim were the same in the case of Olav the Al-Aviv. Talking about a father and a son passed away, and then whoever the Yorshim were, additional sons, additional brothers, uncles, grandfather, whoever it happens to be, there was no fight among Yorshim, same group of Yorshim. The question was whether they had to go and pay the Ksuvas Isha or the Baal Chayv. Those Yorshim are clearly Muchzakim, because clearly, even if they pay for the Ksuvas Isha and the Baal Chayv, whatever the residual estate is, whatever is left over, of course will belong to them. So they're different Muchzakim in the Nechasim. The question is, do they have to go and pay out to this stranger, to the Isha, to the Baal Chayv, who are not Yorshim? So that's Shaila, who died first. Therefore, we have the svara of Hamoitzchver al Varaya, according to Beisil. We asked why Taka doesn't Beishamay agree with that. L'choy, we don't paskin like Simchas, we paskin Hamoitzchver al Varaya. And Rashi Rishbam said yesterday, because Beishamay holds kol oymed ligvois kigovli dami, whenever you're talking about a shtar, you look upon the shtar as if it was already collected, because it's so collectible. You look upon it as being collected. Therefore, that's why Bishamai said, not only are the Yorshim Muchzakim, but the Isha, as well as the Baal Chayv are also Muchzakim, because they have that shtar. So therefore he said, Yachoyku. Here we don't have the benefit of that Svara. Maybe the Gabi Ksuvas Isha Yoh, and in fact Rishbam says, back in Yevamos, there were a Mandiyama that holds by Ksuvas Isha, there's no Machlaikis. But at least with regard to everything else, I don't know, passed away first. Did he? Did she? Which Yorshim are going to Yarshin? Her Yorshim, his Yorshim. Since I don't know, it's a real clear Momen Amutl Besavik, and Chokin, you split it down the middle according to Beishami. Beishami Om Yachlik. Well, Beisil Omer, Beisil said, no, you still go after the Chazaka. Nechasim Mecheskosan. Now the word Nechasim over here explains Rishbam, as we'll see in the Gemara in the Omid Beis. That means the Nechsei Tzoyin Barzel. They, you go after the Chazaka. The question is, who is the Muchzik? Is it the husband? Is it the wife? And Mietchim will see on the Amid base. Ksuba, Becheskes Yorshiba. Ksuba Zichar in the Chazaka of Yorshiba. Why? Because that additional 200 or 100 never belonged to the Isha. That was a financial obligation on the part of the husband, on part of the Baal. So from his nechasim, he's going to go and pay for the ksuba. Who's the muchzik in those nechasim? The Yorshia Baal. So therefore, the Yorshia Baal, they keep that 200 or 100. They do not have to pay it to the other Yorshia. The nechasim, nechnasim, the yoytzim ima. This is referring to nechse melug. It's called nechnasim, yoytzim ima, because whichever way they came in, that's the way they come out. We don't go and concern ourselves whether it went up in price, down in price. She gets back the same property that she brought into the house, and she takes it back. Those nechsim lo mecheskes Yorshia Av. The word Yorshia Av is really referring to Yorshia Ha'isha. The reason why the Gemara uses it, or the Mishnah uses the term Yorshia Av, says the last Rishbam, because typically Shemi Avia Bahula. Usually this is part of the nadin, part of the dowry that the father gave, and therefore we talk about the yorshei ab, but really mean the yorshei ha'isha. The reason why she's considered to be muchzik, because she owns the nechsei maluk from day one till the final day. The husband has the right to the payrois, but it's her property. Therefore, she's muchzik in that property. Those zikr go to the yorshei ha'isha or the yorshei ha'ab. Now, the focus of the Gemara is going to be on Beis Hillel that says nechosim, which are the nechsei tzoyin, barzel b'ches kosim. Freik d'imar.
Or
b'ches kismi. Who is the ches kosim? Who is the muchzik in these nechsei tzoyin barzel? And guess what? We have a three-way machlokes. Rabbi Yochanan Amar b'cheskes yorshei habaal. They are in the chazak of the yorshei habaal. Why are they in the chazak of the yorshei habaal? Explains Rashi Bab. Because the baal, during this marriage, if he wants to, he can sell those nechasim. Aye, doesn't he owe the money to the wife? Yes. And in fact, if and when chas v'shalom this marriage terminates, he's going to have to go and pay her the appraised amount which was set forth in the ksuba, the $1,000 or whatever the amount was set forth. When he sold it during the marriage term, he had the right to. And if in fact he made $1,200, very good, so he made a $200 profit. If he sold it for $800, he's going to lose $200. But the point is, it belongs to him to go and sell as he wishes, and that he has to go and pay back the wife is almost like he has to give a promissory note for the $1,000. Doesn't have to literally give the promissory note, because the ksuba itself is like the promissory note that he owes her that money. But it's his. Therefore, he can sell it. And therefore, if Chas V'Shalom they pass away, he was the muchzik, and therefore we're going to go and give that property to the yorshei habaal. Reb Loza Amar b'cheskes yorshei isha. No. It belongs to her side. Why does it belong to her side? Number one, because she brought it in to the chasana, was part of her dowry, so therefore she had the original ownership rights to it. Yeah, during the marriage, he has the right to go and use and sell. All of that is true. But after the marriage is over, she gets it back. Either she gets it back be'en, or she goes and gets the assessed value of that property. So she is like the balabas of the property, according to Belazar. So I have a machloikis yorshei habaal yorshei ha'isha. Shimon Lakish v'Shim Bar Kapora Amar yachloiku. We split it down the middle. Chintani Bar Kapora. Until now we had Rish Lakish v'Shim Bar Kapora, and now Bar Kapora himself had in his brises. If you remember, a few days ago we had Mishnas Bar Kapora. Hoyu v'alolu boim lirish v'alolu boim lirish. Since each one of them seems to have a strong taina, the yorshei habaal can go and say, the Baal had the right to go and sell it. All he had to do was pay the money, and therefore he's the muchzik, it belongs to us. Reb Loza has a good taina that the Ish, the Yorshei Isha, can go and take, but it really belonged to the Isha. She brought it into the marriage, not him. He was a nobody. She was a rich girl. She brought in this property, and he has to go and pay her back the property after this marriage terminates. He has to go and give her either the property or the money, the assessed value that it says inside the ksuba. So it's hers. So each one of them has a good time, and therefore yachloiku. Therefore, when Beis Hillel said back in Hamishnah, the chos meches kasan, nechsi tzoyim ba'azel, the three-way machloikis, does it mean him or her, meaning the yorshei habaal, the yorshei isha, or 50-50 tomorrow. And now we continue next Mishnah again in the same
question.
Sure.
According to Rabbi Ezer, if he increased that value and doubled it or tripled it, does she only get back what she brought in, or the total amount?
According to the ksuba, you write in the appraised amount, and that appraised amount was, for instance, $1,000.
Of what she brought in.
Of what she brought in other words, the property at the time of marriage, they took an official appraisal from the American Appraisal Institute, and they said that this property is worth $1,000. They wrote that into the ksuba, this property is worth $1,000. So after the marriage terminates, assuming that this property is still around, or even if it's not around, he owes her $1,000 for that property. And if it went up in value, he can take the profit. If it went down in value, he loses. However, there's a machloikis back in Maseches Ksubis whether or not, if the wife insists that she wants that original property because of the sentimental value, she has a right to go and get it back. I believe the Gemara says that if in fact went down, then he would have to go and be mashlim, he would have to go and give her the additional amount. But anyway, but that's the general rules, that Nechsei Tzim Basel is different than Nechsei Maluk. Nechsei Maluk, you just hand it over and say, wife, you get it back. You have to be concerned about the assessed value, the praise value set forth in the Ksuba. And now we go the third of these lines of cases, and now we're talking about if Chas V'Shalom Nofel HaBayis Olavi Al Imoy, a man passed away together with his mother again in the same building collapse. By the way, all three cases could have happened in the same Mishnah at the same time. You had a case of Olav V'Al Oviv, could have a case of Olav V'Al Ishto, you could have an Olav V'Al Imoy. Three separate cases in the same building collapse. In Nebuchadnezzar, what happened now in the London? Nebuchadnezzar, 70 people or so got killed in one major fire. So you can have the same thing. Who passed away first in that fire? Was it the man or was it, in this case, was it the mother? Now, for purposes of our Mishnah, we're assuming that the mother has the property, and we're not talking about the son's property. The mother has the property. Okay, so now the question is, what's the story? So Rashbam makes it easy in the sense of referring to the Torah figures. We're going to talk about, for instance, Rachel, who was originally married to Yaakov. Yaakov unfortunately passed away, and Rachel has a son by the name of Yosef. And for purpose of our Mishnah, says Rishbam, no Binyamin, just Rachel and Yosef. Okay, Rachel, the mommy, Yosef, the son, Nebuch passed away together in the same building collapse. Rachel has, for instance, brothers. They would like to go in Yarshin from Rachel. Yosef also had brothers, but not brothers from the same mommy, but brothers from the same tati. For instance, in the case of Yaakov and Rachel, Yosef had brothers called Reuven and Shimon and Levi and Yehuda, who were the sons of Leah. Different mommies, but the same father. Okay, so now we have the brothers of Rachel, who say that they want a Yarshin. And now we have the brothers of Yosef that say that they want a Yarshin. Mind you, those brothers are not from the same mommy, because if they're the same mommy, then they would go first before anybody else. Rachel passes away, there's only Yosef as a single. If Yosef had other brothers, then they would go in Yarshin from their mommy. So talking about that there was only one son, and the brothers that he has are from a different mother, not but from the same father. So again, Nofel HaBayis Olav V'Al Imoy, Eilu V'Eilu Moidim Shiachloiko. Eilu V'Eilu means that in this case, we no longer have a machloikus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree. Yachloiku, you split it down the middle.
So Lavan and Reuven would split the property. Lavan, the brother of
Was Lavan the brother of Rachel, or Lavan was the father of Rachel?
Lavan was the uncle, sorry.
Or Lavan was perhaps was the father of Rachel. But you're thinking of Lavan was the brother of Rivka. Okay, no problem. Anyway, but let's assume that...
Who are the heirs of the mother who are fighting with Reuven, Shimon, Levi, etc.?
Rachel could have had 12 brothers, and they're all fighting.
Okay.
Anyway, or if she had no brothers, it would be Leah, her sister. So Leah and Rachel were sisters, if I'm not mistaken. In fact, there's a medrash that holds that Bilhah and Zilpah were also half-sisters of Rachel and of Leah. But anyway, that's not just al tishvichti. But the point is that she had kroivim that were yarshim, and he, Yosef, had kroivim that were yarshim. Eilu ve'eilu. Now, the eilu ve'eilu doesn't mean the yarshim of this one and the yarshim of that. It means that both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel moidim shiach loikul. Even though Mishnah number one, Beis Hillel says, the Nechasim B'cheskasim. In Mishnah number 2, which we just finished learning in the Omer Aleph, it depends on the Ksubas Isha, the Nechzi Tzim Barzel, the Nechzi Malug. But here, everybody agrees, Yachloiko! You go and split it down the middle. The mother has Yarshim, he has Yarshim. There is no way to prove who passed away first. Neither of them is more muchzik than the other. Then you just go and split it down the middle, even according to Beis Hillel. Amar of Akiva, Moidani Bezu, in this case, I agree. Shanachasim Bechaz Kasan. Who's he being Moided to? Says Rishbam, this is just a usage of a term because Rabbi Akiva is referring to the Tanakhama. And the Tanakhama says, everybody agrees. So Rabbi Akiva says, I also agree. But not to you. I agree that in this case, Beis Hillel would continue holding his stern and adamant view. That hanachosim bischaskosim, like we had in the previous two Mishnayos. So therefore, it's really just, if you will, a poetic term. It's not meant really. I'm agreeing to anybody, because Rabbi Akiva is very much disagreeing. But the Tanakhama used the expression Eil Beil Moidim. So he also says Moidani that I. I'm sorry.
He's being ironic.
He's being ironic. Okay, so right. If you want to look at the Reshbam in the wide lines, the big wide lines, go down about 12 lines into the wide lines. Omer of Akiva Moidani. So everybody has that. Mishum did not get Tanakhama lishdan the Moidim. The Tanakhama used the expression of Moidim. Is therefore Omer Iunami Moidani. Then Rabbi Akiva responded in kind, and he also said, "Moidani, Kleimer, Vani Moide, V'choyvik Alecha." Yeah, I also agree to this discussion, but I disagree with the halacha. So, Veisel Nami Amrinalcha, Mechasim Becheskasim, like we said before. Now, just like we had the discussion, Loit Beisil, in the prior Mishnah, who is the Muchsik? Is it the Baal? Is it the Isha? Is it both? The three views that we just finished. We're going to have a Shail in the Gemara once again. Who is the Nechosim Cheskos? And in this case, L'choya, the Nechosim are in nobody's Chazakah. Nebuch, they both passed away. Both sets of Yorushim never own this. So the question is, who does it go to? Mecha will talk about this in the Gemara in a moment. Amalei ben Azai. So ben Azai now addresses Rabbi Akiva, and he says, "Al chalukin anu mitzarim, el shabos al chalik aleinu es hashavin." What ben Azai is saying is to Rabbi Akiva, "Al chalukin on the two prior mishnayosin, where we unfortunately had a machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, so we were already mitzayir on that machloikis. What can we do? Unfortunately, the Mesoira got cut at some point in history, and therefore Beis Shammai holds one way, Beis Hillel holds the other way, and it's unfortunate that we have machloikis." Ela shebasa you nara b'kiva, you wanted lachalik aleinu es hashavin, when we finally had one case where everybody says, "Oh, moidim, we all agree that it's the same halacha shiachloiku," and we were hoping and saying, "Baruch Hashem, finally we have achdus in the ranks of Klal Yisrael, no machloikis." Comes again Rabbi Akiva, and you say, "No, even in this case, it's also machloikis." So al chalukin mitzarim, and you want to go and take the shavin. Shavin means that case where everybody agrees, and you want to make a machloikis there too. Says Ben Azai, "I'm not happy with Rabbi Akiva's approach." And the Gemara will talk about this in a moment as well. But let's go back to Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva said, "I hold the chasim becheskas. In fact, Imar Nachum becheskas me. Who is the muchzik? Rabbi Ila Amar becheskas Yorshei Ha'Eim. The Yorshei Ha'Eim are the muchzakim. Rabbi Zera Amar becheskas Yorshei Ha'Ben. The Yorshei Ha'Ben are muchzakim." We don't know the svara yet. Why? Kisalik Rabbi Zera, when Rabbi Zera went up to Eretz Yisrael, kam b'shitzid Rabbi Ila, he jumped ship from his view of Becheskes Yorshei Ben, and he joined the view of Rabbi Ila Becheskes Yorshei Ha'en. Now the Gemara brings about Rabba, but Rabba doesn't otherwise fit into our Gemara, and therefore the Bach takes out the words "Kam Rabba b'shitzes Reb Zera," and we skip then to Omer Reb Zera. Says Reb Zera, "I who jumped ship," in other words, "I changed my mind and I hold like Reb Ila, Shema mino avir deretz Yisrael machkim." Because when did Reb Zera go and change his mind? When was he kam b'shitzid Reb Ila? Kisalik, when he went up to Eretz Yisrael. "I came to Eretz Yisrael. I became kliger, I became smarter, and I realized Reb Ila is right, and I was wrong." In Yiddish they say, "Averitel, avir teretz so machim." Machim means macht kimen. Macht kimen means it has a drawing influence, a drawing effect. The people have cheshik to go to Eretz Yisrael, because it's a macht kimen. It causes them to come, it draws them to the Holy Land. Perfect Gemara, but you still haven't explained the reasons. V'tamamai, Omer Abayi hol v'chuchzika, nachla ba'oisei shevet. Oh, so Abayi says, a nice svara in Rabila, and now the converted Reb Zera. Why does it go b'cheskes yorshei o'aim? Because even though Nebuch the aim is nishtu, and the ben is nishtu, and therefore there's no real muchzakim in a personal, individual sense. However, since the focus of our Mishnah is on the nechasim of the aim, and let's assume for a moment that the aim was from the Shevet Shimoi, and she was married to the Shevet Reuven, and as you know from the Gemara before, that although the first generation this was prohibited, but the second generation this was permitted, it was only for that door. And when did they discover that, or when did they codify that? That was on Chamisha Usav, and that was one of the six reasons that the Gemara gave for the heter for one of the reasons for the Yom Tov Yisrael on Chamishus Av. Yeah. Anyway, the bottom line is a Shimonite, the lady in our Mishnah, the mother in our Mishnah, married a Reuvenite, and now if she passes away, leaving over Nechasim, the Shevet Shimon says, we are the Muchzokim in those Nechasim. Not that we are individually, but the Shevet Shimon, because she comes from our Shevet. So why would you go and take away the Nechasim from our Shevet and give it to the sons Yoshim who are from a different Shevet? And that was the Svara of Rabila, to which ultimately Reb Zeira also subscribed. Why did Reb Zeira initially say Becheskis Yor Sheha'ben? Because normally when people pass away under natural circumstances, you assume Bederach Klal, it's the older generation passes away first, leaving Yerusha to the later generation, and then they in turn, when they get older, they leave Yerusha to their later generation. That's the way things normally work. Unfortunately, of course, there are tragic circumstances, numerous exceptions to the rule, but the regular rule is, Bederach Klal, that parents pass away before children. And therefore, throughout the lifetime of this Ben, especially if he is the only Ben to this mother, Yosef is the only Ben to Rachel, so throughout his lifetime, he expected, and everybody else in the world expected, that this Yosef is going to go in Yashin from his mother. That was what people thought and expected. And therefore, in a sense, he was muchzik, not that he was physically muchzik, but in the legal rights, since he was the first in line before anybody else, and the only son, so there would be no daughters to go in Yarshin, there would be no brothers to Yarshin, no father, no grandfather, great-grandfather, so a son. So therefore he was, in a sense, the muchzik in terms of legal rights. That's why Reb Zeira felt that if Chas Shalom, the mother passes away, and we don't know whether or not the son passed away first or second, give it to his Yarshim, because under normal circumstances he would have Yarshim, and therefore his Yarshim should go and Yarshim his portion. But once again, Reb Zeira changed his mind. He holds like Reb Ila, for the reason given by Abaya, because it's Huchzik and Nachla, but it's a Shevet. That Shevet insists we want this Nachla back. And we saw in the Mishnah that Ben Azai was critical of Reb Akiva, and he said, "Al-chaluk yirani mitzdarim al-shabas l'chalik aleinu es ha-shovin." Now we know from other Gemaras that Ben Azai was a Talmud of Reb Akiva, and Ben Azai is speaking a little bit in a sharp fashion to Reb Akiva. It's Umr Reb Simloi. Reb Simloi says, "Ado Umra." The word "Ado Umra" means zois oimeres. From this we see that Ben Azai Talmud chavad Reb Akiva. He wasn't just a Talmud; he was a Talmud chavad. How do I know? Tikomalei Shebos or Shebosa. He's saying that you, Reb Akiva, were mechalik aleinu es hashavim. Jacques de Rejbam, what should he have said if this was a pure Rebbe and Talmud situation? He should have said Sheborabeinu. He should have said the Rebbe is mechalik aleinu es hashavim. Not Shebos, that you don't speak to a Rebbe in second person, you speak to him in third person. And even today, those that are makbid on that, talk to the rabbis and they go and say, what did the rabbis say? What did the Rosh Hashiva say? What did
my rabbi used to say, Vozogn Zay.
Vozogn Zay? Okay. Good. Anyway, so that's the lesson. Other Mephoshim, by the way, don't have the Lashon of Tikomalei Shabbos, and rather say that the Gemara's Rai is not from the fact that he said Shabbos as opposed to Barabenu, but that he spoke in somewhat of a critical fashion, that he said, that of course that's more rhetoric than real substance, because if Rabbi Kiva held that that's the halacha, that's what Rabbi Kiva held, so Ben Azai shouldn't go and say he's not arguing with him on substantive grounds. He's just being critical in, if you will, a poetic sense. Yeah, you want to go and add machloikas in the Klal Yisrael. And that was the taina that Ben Azai had to Reb Akiva. And that's what the Gemara is concluding. That's why Reb Simloi says he must have been a Talmud Chaver, because otherwise the Talmud would never talk like that to the Rebbe and say, hey, Rebbe, you're causing more machloikas in. You know, we're trying to bring achdus and you're bringing machloikas. That would be a little bit chutzpahdik. And that's the raya of the Gemara.
He's one of the four artists for Reb Akiva.
That's correct. Ben Azai, Ben Zoyma, Acher, and Reb Akiva. What happened to Ben Azai?
One of them,
Ben Azai passed away. Right. Ben Azai to Ben Zoyma.
He went to Zedrait,
and Acher went off the derech, and Reb Akiva, Baruch Hashem, Nichlas B'Shalom, Yatz B'Shalom. Gemara in Sas Chagiga. Shkoyach. Good. Anyway, we start now Shol Chamitam. Now this Shol Chamitam starts a bit of a new sugya. We're not going to finish the sugya because that would take the entire Amud Aleph of tomorrow into the Amud Beis of tomorrow. But we at least are going to go and start on the sugya. And you'll see that we're going to bring a brisa which on the surface doesn't make sense. I know that's a strong lashon, but the Rishbam says, as we'll see, it's mishabeshtahi. There must be an error in transcription. And therefore the Gemara is going to try as best as possible to figure out what the brisa originally said and what it meant. And the Gemara is going to go through about 5, 6, 7 different cases of perhaps what the brisa originally said or meant. So we start. Shalach mitam, they sent from Eretz Yisrael. Ben shalava benichsei aviv, a son that borrowed from the nechosim of his father. A son borrowed nechosim. V'chayov, when his father was alive. Umes, and now the ben who borrowed the nechosim passed away. Penoi moitzim yad lekuchais, the grandson, the son of that son, can go and take away nechosim from people that purchased the nechosim. V'zui shekasha b'dini mamadis, and this halacha is so hard to understand, even though that's the halacha. Now, the Gemara immediately says that this braisa on the surface doesn't add up. Why doesn't it add up? Because it says ben shalova, he borrowed. When we're talking about people being moitzi miyad halakuchos, we're always talking about a malviz moitzi. A malva lent money to a loiva. The loiva can't pay, so the malva looks for nechosim. There are no bnei chayrin, so then the malva has the right to go after lekuchos because you have a chrayis in the shtar, or a chrayis to a soifer. So therefore, you have a right to go and access and exercise your lien. But here we're talking about that the ben borrowed minichsi aviv. So why is he being moitzi out of lekuchos? If anything, people should be moitzi from him or from his lekuchos. Not that the grandson should go be moitzi miyad lekuchos. So therefore, for the Gemara, loive my mapik, what is his right to go and take anything away, or his son's right to take anything away? He was the borrower, he wasn't the lender. V'oy lekuchos my evidite. Where did we mention anything about a mechira? It just said that a son borrowed nechasim from his father, he died, and now the son takes from you velcha lekuchos, who bought, who sold. So clearly, the braisa on the surface of Rishbam is meshabeshtihi. It doesn't mean what it says, but rather, ben shemachar benichsei aviv b'chayi aviv, a son that sold the nechosim of his father whilst his father was alive. What does it mean? He sold nechosim. So Rishbam says he sold them on spec, meaning he knows that his father Baruch Hashem is a wealthy man. Let's say the father had $10 million. And let's assume, for argument's sake, he happens to be the only son, for instance. And he, unfortunately, on his own, has no money. Father is not interested in giving him any money because his father says, you want to earn your money, go and earn it, don't spend it. You're only going to get my Yerusha after I pass away. As long as I'm alive, I give you nothing. Does anybody ever heard a story like that? Could be stories like that. Anyway, but the son needs cash. And the only item that he owns is the legal right to receive the Yerusha of his father when his father will pass away. Ooh, everything in this life is worth some amount of money. So he was able to go and find somebody that was able to go and buy from him that right to Yarshin, the $10 million. Now, how much is that right worth? A very, very speculative value. Because number one, his father might not pass away for the next 50 years. He's not going to get any benefit in the chasim until 50 years from now. Number two, with the time that the father passes away, who knows if he's going to have any nechasim left? Maybe the father will also go and make some bad investments and he's going to lose everything. Number three, maybe the father won't pass away first, maybe the son will pass away first and the son will never receive that Yerusha. So the whole thing is quite speculative. So presumably whoever is going to buy it will buy it for a very heavily discounted price. But Lemaisa, that's what the son did. Macha b'nichsi aviv, he sold his chelek Yerusha in his nichsi aviv, b'chai aviv, when his father was still alive. And then, presumably, if the father would pass away first, which is the normal state of events, what would normally happen? Then the kuchis finally that bought that right years ago would now be able to go in Yarshin and get, they wouldn't Yarshin, they would go and receive what the son would have received, Birusha. So that's what normally should have happened. But guess what happened? Umes. Unfortunately, the ben predeceased the father, and therefore the ben never received the Yerusha, because he died before his father died. But now when the father died, the Lekuches take out the shtar and say, your ben sold it. They can't talk to the father anymore. The father just passed away. But they talk to the Yarshim. Who's the Yarshim? The Yarshim is the grandson. Grandson of the father, the son of the son. Now the Zekuchas take out the shtar and they say to their grandson, haha, grandson, you think that you're yarshining, you're getting nothing because your father sold us the property, it all belongs to us. He sold to us his Yerusha rights. Shteit on the Brayse, b'noi moitzi ben al-kuchas. The ben will have the upper hand and he will get it. Moitzi doesn't mean physically moitzi because they never received it, but he means to say he will win, not them. And this is what's difficult to understand in Hilchais Choshev Mishpat B'dinei Mamonos. What's so hard to understand? Because the Lekuchos say to him, Avucha Mazvin V'at Mapik. What does the Gemara mean? The Gemara means is that any time a person passes away, and Yorshim Yarshin, the only Yarshin whatever is left in the estate. They don't go and Yarshin something which was sold. If you have Trump, who has, let's assume, $1 billion, if he dies, and he leaves over $1 billion for his children, okay, so they're now wealthy. But what happens if he manages to squander all that $1 billion, and he sells it, and he loses it, and whatever, and now he has no money left, and then he dies? Can the Yorishim go back after the Lekuchas and say, Lekuchas, that all belonged to our father, we want to go and take it back? Of course not. That was sold by Ovid Bishas Bechayoviv. Obviously, they have no rights to it. And so therefore, Zhong Yet, the Einiklach, we don't know, the Lekuchas, they say to the Einikul, Falem Rulei, Avuch Mazvin, your father sold his Yerusha rights. So he left nothing in his estate vis-a-vis the Yerusha of the Zayda, the Atmapik, and you want to go and take that away from us? You have no right to take it away. It didn't belong to your father any longer. And he sold it. And that's what the Braisa meant when it said, Vizu, Hikasha, Bedine, Mamis. Right, Yomar, my Kusha, I don't understand what's so difficult. Dilma Mati, Omar, Mikoyach, Avua, the Abba, Koasina. Why can't the Enikel say, I am not looking at the Yerusha of my father. I know that my father passed away and left no Yerusha. However, what happens in any situation? Forget about Lekuchas over here. Regular situation. You have a Zaydi. You have a father. You have an Eniko. The father passed away first. Okay, he never received Yerusha, never he passed away. But now the Zaydi passes away. And the only Yerusha that he has is that Eniko. I receive from my Zaydi. You want to go and take away Zaydi's Yerusha because you said that you bought it from father. Father never owned it. He never passed away. And that's the reason why you got part of your heavily discounted price.
Exactly. The option expired when father did.
Exactly. So since father passed away first, you never got the right to receive that Yerusha. So you're saying, Avucha Mazbin, the Atmapik? No. It's not that Avucha Mazbin. He sold something on spec, but he never owned it. I own it now because I get it directly from Zaydi. Zayde, I'll bring you a rye that I get it directly from Zaydi. It didn't stop through the father station, Bekaver. But I got it directly. Dixiv is in the pasuk. Tachas v'secha, yubanecha. That the children are going to be tachas v'secha, your grandfathers. In other words, they will take over the position of their fathers in the grandfather. Tishasein l'sarim b'chal ha'aretz. And so therefore, that l'chayre cannot be the pshat in this brisa, because that's not kasha b'dinei mamonos. Eli kasha ha'kasha. Instead, if you want to go and put together another fact pattern, it's the following. And the Gemara is going to be toicha that one as well. The Gemara is going to bring another three or four until we come up with the final pshat in the brisa. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai. Zayg is in shock.